Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Plenty of room for praise team members. I'm just going to remind you that up here. And please join us for our call to worship. Seek ye first, 783 in your blue book. And we'll be doing the alleluias after every verse, kind of a funky little version, so just follow along.
By the way, two of our members couldn't make it today, so that's...
One dared to go to her grandson's wedding.
We're a trio. We're a trio.
Hallelujah. Thank you. It was a nice beginning. Jim, you are in fine voice today. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Not a very real receptive good morning, was it? Good morning, everybody. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourself. Well, someone's having fun over here. Yeah, all I have to do is look and I know who it is. Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have you here. It strikes me when I visit different churches sometimes how people are kind of afraid of each other or don't want to talk to each other. And you know what I'm talking about, or is that just me? But we are all in this together. The Spirit of God attaches us and makes us a part of each other. I mean, we call ourselves the body of Christ, and the Spirit is what ties us together. And we're afraid that we don't want to talk to someone we don't know, because maybe we don't know their names. Or I remember visiting a little church up on the Iron Range, just down the road from Hibbing. They didn't have any side walls there, and I was there a half hour early, and I thought, well, I'll sit in the corner, and so people don't have to step over me, you know how. Yeah. So I went in about the third row from the back and sat right on the corner, and the first lady came right over and started visiting, and had a nice talk. Well, pretty soon the church had filled up. It was time to start. And she stepped over me and swiveled down like this. Says, that's my seat. Oh. I want to tell you, you can be responsible for the announcements, but I want to tell you how proud I am of this congregation, the way you loved and served the Westerlands in their time of need. The funeral this Friday, they served over 250, and I know people didn't. Some people didn't stay. The parking lot attendants organized the ushers and moving chairs. The ladies working in the kitchen. You are just so hospitable, and I'm just really proud of you. So, thank you for doing that. If we don't do anything else right, we can be hospitable and welcoming and very supportive, especially when people are in times of need. So thank you for doing that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly God, on this Pentecost Sunday, your Spirit comes down. We pray that Spirit might be stirred in our hearts this morning, that our eyes might see your hand at work in the world, and that we might get caught up in the spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and love for each other. And so as we sing these wonderful hymns, say our prayers, hear your word, stir your spirit in our hearts, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The lady who does the projector and the clicking is gone today, so we have an insert for our first hymn. It's Mighty to Save. And please join us with singing. We did it as an anthem last month, and a lot of you were singing then, so I know you know the song. Please sing along. Love mercy, Father.
Please rise. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by whose Spirit we have been reborn to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Rejoicing in Christ's victory over sin and death, let us come before God who calls us to repentance. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. God of life, by the resurrection of your Son, you make everything new. Newness scares us, and we confess to shutting our doors in fear. We have not listened to voices that challenge us. We have resisted the Holy Spirit moving us in new directions. Our hearts are slow to believe your promises. Forgive us, O God, and renew us to embrace without fear the new life you have given us in Jesus Christ. Amen. People of God, Christ is alive, and death has lost its power. Through the waters of baptism, you have been born anew by the living Word of God. Know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, and that the Spirit of the risen Christ is alive in you both now and forever. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, peace, and mercy be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our anthem this morning is Trading My Sorrows. If any of you know the words, sing along. I can't tell you. We love having Darwin here, but I can't tell you how nervous we get when he's here singing. So please join in if you know it. And this song reminds me of Darwin and so many of you out there who are dealing with so much, but you managed to set an example by living joyfully in the Lord. So this song is for all of you.
Be my strength. First reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Pentecost was a Jewish festival harvest that marked the 50th day after Passover. Luke portrays the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples before the gathered and astonished people assembled in Jerusalem for the festival. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples were able to witness to the power of Christ's resurrection. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Today's psalm is Psalm 104. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R, use the refrain, "Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth." How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them. All the earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is a sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of God endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works.
Send forth your spirit into the face of the earth.
You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord,
O my soul. Hallelujah. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this day of Pentecost is found in the 20th chapter of St. John. The risen Jesus appears to his disciples, offering them a benediction, a commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 1811. Napoleon Bonaparte was at the height of his power, and he had gathered his military and political leaders in a room, and in the front of the room was a great big map. And as he told them about his upcoming campaign, he pointed to a place on the map and said, "Here lies the sleeping giant. Don't awaken him. He will shake terribly the earth." As the officers fastened their eyes on the spot where Napoleon had pointed them, they saw that the huge place, the huge country he was pointing at, was China. Well, as we all know, the sleeping giant that we know as China has awakened. This country has made enormous strides economically, socially. They make the newspapers every day, and its economy is soon going to surpass our own here in America, according to most economists. However, did you know that there's another place, another way in which China is leaving us behind? Today in China, there are reportedly more Christians in China than there are people in the United States. Now, there are some in our society that believe that the United States is the Christian country in the world that should lead the way. And their theology says that because they're Christian, they will be blessed by God and perhaps are the only country that is blessed by God. I've heard that said. You probably have too. But how about this? If there's more Christians in China than there are people in the United States now, that's the sleeping giant. And that church in China and all throughout Asia and Africa is growing by leaps and bounds. The sleeping giant has awakened. Think about that for a moment. I mean, we're the Christian nation, but now China's got more Christians than we do people. How's that going to be in the future? I hope it bodes well for the world. And pretty soon communism is going to take a back seat to the Christian leaders that are emerging there. And I think that's going to be good for the world. Christianity, I think, is going to be one day the dominant force. Not only in China, but in the world. That is to say, if there's a sleeping giant in the world today, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. I just thought I'd throw that out for you. It's something to think about, something to chew on. There are more than 2 billion Christians in the world today. There's about a little more than a billion Muslims. But there's no single continent or region that can claim to be the center of global Christianity today, because the world is hearing the word of God. We're living in a worldwide enterprise. We in the United States, who mostly have gone asleep, our church hasn't been very vibrant the last few decades. The church in Europe, if you go there, their sanctuaries are pretty much empty on Sunday mornings. On this Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit has come to the early church, that's the day we remember, do I need to remind you that this is the purpose for every Christian, why we should be working, what we should be doing? And the key verse, if there's a verse, is that in those days, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Someday the love of Christ is going to dwell in every person's heart. That's been the hope and prayer of Christianity since Jesus breathed on his disciples. That the fear and the superstition that we carry with us will be cast aside, and all people everywhere will one day know that the purpose of their lives is to love God and to love each other, and that his Spirit has tied every bit of his creation, every living bit of his creation together. His Spirit is in us, in this room, and in this country, and in this world. Something for you to think about. So how will that day come unless we understand the way the first Pentecost worked, huh? That's the question I'd have you contemplate this Pentecost Sunday, 2014. Imagine if there could be an event in the 21st century that would be comparable to the Pentecost that happened 2,000 years ago. So Lynn read our lesson today. That's the toughest lesson there is in the whole church year. Pamphylia, by the way. I just say Glenn. Anyway, the Spirit came to these disciples in all these different languages they spoke. It'd be like, how many here are Norwegian? Raise your hand, Elsa. Yeah. It would be like if the Spirit came here, you would speak Norwegian and that would be it. I'd speak Finn, Jim, Christensen, Danish, huh? Yeah. And all these languages, just ordinary Galileans, they're sitting in a closed room, they're afraid of the Jews. All of a sudden, the sound of a mighty wind comes. They get these, I don't understand it. Luke is writing this, and he says there's like tongues of fire on their head. I saw that picture when I was a kid, you know, in your Sunday school books. I didn't understand it then. I still don't understand what happened, except they started speaking in different languages. They got excited. We got to tell everybody. They felt or experienced the presence of God, I think. And they knew his joy and love and peace and patience and kindness. They went out of the room. They unlocked the room. They went out, and there's this big festival celebration going on. And they start speaking in all these languages to all these people. And the people saying, aren't these guys Galileans? They're just fishermen from up north. That's what the people in the cities say about us. We're just fishermen from Mille Lacs Lake. They're speaking our languages. What's that all about? And some mockers say, they're drunk. And Peter says, hold on now, it's only 9 o'clock. We don't have happy hour till 10. Go down to Isle Liquor Store. There's a sign that says happy hour from 10 to 12. And don't ask me how I know. I was buying communion wine once, one day. Anyway, I said, what was that all about? They said, well, those fishermen have to get a jump start on the lake. I says, okay. I was just new here. Anyway, that's what happens. They're drunk. No, we're not drunk. We're full of God's Spirit. He's touched us. He showed us his love. We're telling people about it. And they were excited, and there was this event, and they says, well, what do we need to know? How can we have that Spirit? Peter starts preaching. He says, what you need to know is that Jesus was the Son of God, and he died for you. And if you're baptized, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you'll get that Spirit, and it'll be in you. And 3,000 people were baptized and believed that day. This is the birthday of the church. That's what the day of Pentecost is. The waking, sleeping giant was awakened that day. It's the birth of the world's one true sleeping giant, the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. And I'm wondering how we can get that excitement back, that feeling back. That we know that we are, that God lives in us, that his Spirit lives in us.
and that we're okay, and we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anybody or anything. Paul, he started living that so much. He said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And he lived big. It wasn't that he accumulated all kinds of stuff. He lived big. He gave himself away just like Jesus did. So where does this all start? How do we get that? Jim, you ought to sing. You and Darwin ought to sing. We've lost that love and feeling. How do we get that feeling back? Is the truth of it, you know? It begins with prayer, huh? It begins with prayer. If the disciples hadn't been gathering for regular prayer, Christ's resurrection, you know, they were, after Christ's resurrection, it's doubtful that the Pentecost would have ever returned. In fact, in the 42nd verse of the second chapter of Acts, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They got together to look at Jesus' teachings. What did he teach? How did he impact these disciples? So you look at Jesus' teachings and you get a little bit of understanding. And that's what you and I do in our Bible study and our devotionals. We're getting, I'm just starting to understand it now, that how important Jesus' teachings are. And the depth of his meaning of what he taught. If you immerse yourself in his teachings, you get the teachings. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, being around Christian people. That was important. To the breaking of bread, having meals together, and to prayer. Prayer was at the heart of the early church. Do you pray for each other? Do you pray for the church? You say a prayer for me. Holy smokes, I need your prayers. The early church prayed and God granted them power. Power to live. Power to turn the world upside down. And I think we will awaken that sleeping giant when we begin praying for our church and its mission. Not only here in Malmo, but the church around the world, that we might all become one. That's the first thing. Second, I think we'll awaken the sleeping giant when we recapture the original purpose of the church. What is our purpose? Someone, I was talking to a pastor, he says, well, our purpose as a church is to hatch, match, and dispatch. I said, what do you mean? We baptize, marry, and bury. Hatch, match, and dispatch. What do you think? No, it's not that. The early church prayed and God granted them power. It's more than just hatch, matching, and dispatching, you know. I was visiting with one of our people that come on Monday nights to our AA group. When I first met him 12, 13 years ago, he was lost. I mean, if you're an alcoholic, you know what being lost is. If you have a loved one who's an alcoholic, you know how people can get lost. And this guy was lost. And when I started visiting with him, his family asked if I would stop in. Hermit in the backwoods. Stopped in. I said, you know what? We're going to be here for you. Anything we can do to help you. But there's an AA group that meets, and I know it would be tough for you. And this guy's really introverted. I mean, it's hard for an introvert to be in church. If you're introverted, you know how much work it is to come and sit in a group like this or to talk in a group. It's one-on-one for introverts. He's introverted as well. So I said, but come on over. He said the first time he came, this hallway was the longest hallway he'd ever walked down. And he said the first time he sat down, he couldn't say a word. He just sat and looked at his feet. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but he said he kept coming. And finally, he was able to hear the stories, and finally, he was able to lift his head up. And over years, he finally started sharing and helping and reaching out. And now he's one of the leaders in the AA group, and now he wasn't able to hold a job. Now he's got two businesses, small businesses he runs. And he asked me last winter, Oh, by the way, one of the things he does is cut firewood. So I would arrange when people needed firewood to keep their house warm in this cold, cruel winter, I would call him, can you bring a cord of wood over? Sure. That's your veggie stand money at work, okay? Anyway, that's just a sidelight. This guy, he started helping out, but last winter we were visiting and he asked me, what's it going to take to join the church? I said, well, it wouldn't hurt if you showed up one Sunday. And he looked at me and I said, you know, I know it's really hard work for an introvert to join a crowd. I understand that. I know it's hard work for you, but this is a pretty welcoming group. I think you'd probably fit in. So I saw him a few weeks ago, and I thought, I had a chance to rethink my remark. I says, that was a little harsh. So I says, you know, you're always welcome at church, and we'd like to have you be a member. And I think it would help you. And he said, I've been thinking a lot about that. He says, you know, the church is basically a big support group, isn't it? I said, yeah. This guy got it right on the head. We are a support group to share God's love, to help each other down the road, to pick one each other up when we're down, you know, to make the world a better place. And I thought, holy smokes, this guy's way ahead of the ball game. He still hasn't showed up for church, and I'm his conscience and he's mine, but that's what we do. We share. You know, I hope you know that there is peace here and love here and acceptance here and that God loves you absolutely, unconditionally. And I think that's what the disciples felt that first Pentecost. And I think they were so stirred by that they shared it with others in different languages. And I think that they lived it. And because they lived it so well, people said, how can I share in that lifestyle? I'm not sure the church has done a service to God when we try and beat people over the head with the Bibles and say, unless you believe, you're going to hell. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind in his first time. It's that if you want to find love and want to find meaning, want to find purpose, come on over here. You're okay. You are special. And we can make this world special if we share this message together. That's the second thing. Third thing they did in that early church. First, they prayed. Second, they reminded themselves of what their purpose was, to love God and to love each other. And the third thing is they served Christ with absolute passion. They gave their life over to Jesus and to his cause. Huh? In the 17th chapter of Acts, Luke writes a story about this fella in Thessalonica named Jason who was a Christian. And there were people who were threatening Jason and the people who gathered in his house and were going to beat them and throw them out of town. And listen to what they shouted to Jason when they were knocking on his door. These are the people who have been turning the world upside down. They've come here also. They had turned the world upside down. And I'm thinking, would that we could turn the world upside down like those early Christians. I heard a story about William Booth. William Booth was he started the movement for the Salvation Army. It was a Wesleyan church in England, and then that spread around the world too. Salvation Army through the years has gotten a bad rep, but today they're probably held up as one of the foremost Christian denominations that does good work in the world. Anyway, there was an old black preacher that went to this Wesleyan chapel, and on the floor of the chapel there was a plaque that was dedicated to William Booth, and the pastor came down, and this old black man said, is it okay if I pray here? And the pastor said, sure, we welcome prayers. And this man said, what he did, he went, fell down on his knees, and he lifted his hands to the heavens, and he said, oh God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. That was his prayer, that that spirit might stir in the people's hearts so that they could find people who would have the commitment and the love that they would share outside those walls. That ought to be our prayer on Pentecost Sunday 2014. Oh, God, do it again. Do it again. The impact of that first Pentecost still illumines the life of Christ's church 2,000 years later. But today we become a sleeping giant. And so I'd like you to think about how we can awaken it again, huh? We can do that by praying for the church, by focusing on that original purpose to love God and love each other. And then to live passionately, to share this story, to share this love with your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors, because that's where we're going to find life. Maybe then God will give us a second Pentecost. In the meantime, I hope you pray it with passion. Oh, Lord, do it again. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. We'll invite the praise team up to sing Change My Heart, O God. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
It's number 801 in the Red Book.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Made alive in Christ and filled with His Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Your Spirit gathers the church. With your grace, enliven bishops, pastors, teachers, and artists, that they proclaim the gospel of peace in their own languages. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit animates the creation. By your power, renew the earth. Fill us with wonder for your handiwork, that we be partners with you in restoring land, skies, and seas. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit enlightens the nations. By your wisdom, direct governments and international organizations, that your peace frees those held captive by misunderstanding and violence. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit revives body and soul. In your mercy, soothe the afflicted, uplift the sorrowful, comfort the grieving, and heal the sick, especially those in our lives who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God. Your Spirit energizes this faith community. Spur on young and old alike to use their creative talents for building up the body of Christ. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit that lives in us. Stir our hearts, stir our minds, that we will know of your love and share it with others. We pray that your Spirit will be with the Westerlin family as they mourn the loss of Ruth in their lives. Comfort them in their mourning. Be with our vacation Bible school, which will be held in another week. Be with the teachers and leaders and all the students. Bring them with happy, seeking hearts. Be with this congregation as we will burn our mortgage in 2 Sundays. Help us to know that you will always be with us, and your Spirit will always live in this church. Thank you for those past leaders who led and guided us to this place. Thank you for present leaders who are with us now. And thank you for the future. Help their eyes to always be on you. Your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, baptized in his name. Help us trust the Spirit's power now and in the life to come with all the saints. Hear us, O God. Receive our prayers, merciful God, and dwell in us richly through Jesus Christ, our life and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now may the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Please join us in Do Lord. It is an insert in your bulletin.
Yeah.
to the Lord.